grace and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our study and our meditation is the epistle lesson which was read a few moments ago, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. And I will read just part of it again at this time. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. In the name of Jesus, dear friends. Now, when it comes to the military, the United States is very strong. Despite 9/11 and what happened there and then, and despite the ongoing threats of war and terrorism in our world, we in America feel secure when it comes to our human enemies, But what about our spiritual enemies? For this battle, we need the armor of God. Paul talks about that in our lesson today, and I've divided it into two parts. First, defining the enemy. Who is the enemy? And second, resisting that enemy. So first, defining the enemy. Who is the enemy? Paul writes, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood," that is, other human beings here, "but we wrestle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Oh, come now. Oh, come on, give me a break. We really believe that stuff? Cosmic powers? Spiritual forces of evil? Sounds like sci-fi movies, right? Science fiction. Let's face it. Today, when people hear the word devil, why, they think of a funny little man in red underwear with horns and a pitchfork. Surely, he's not for real. God's Word teaches otherwise. From the Bible, we learn that the devil and demons are indeed real. That they were once created holy, but later rebelled and fell away from God. And according to the Bible, they have been judged and condemned to hell. But, in the meantime, they are still powerful. Now, the devil's highest ambition, what he wants more than anything else for you and for me, is to snatch us away from God's kingdom. A kingdom that we enjoy as children of the Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus Christ our Savior. And so we have this battle going on. The battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of evil. It already began, you know, in the Garden of Eden, when Satan tempted Adam and Eve. And later, many centuries later, and we read about this in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, the devil even tried to lead Jesus Christ into sin. His temptation in the wilderness, which of course was a failure. Our Lord and Savior easily passed that temptation. You know, today though, in today's world, it's really no different. The battle is still going on. In fact, every day when we hear the news, whether it's we read it in the paper or hear it over a radio or television, it just seems some days there's so much bad news, it just seems that Satan is actually running the show. He's running the world. He's in control of the world. He's alive and well. Well, we have a tendency to look out there and we look there and look there, but we needn't look no further than right here. We need look no further than ourselves. Satan knows my weakness. He knows your weakness. We sometimes refer to our weak spot as our Achilles heel. There's a Greek legend about that. I won't go into that, but that's our Achilles heel. And so this morning I would ask you, what is your Achilles heel? Where does the devil have his most success with you? Is it anger? Do you explode when things are not going your way? And is that anger harming your marriage, your relationships with your children, your parents, your friends? What is your Achilles heel? Is it pride? The devil loves that one, pride. A stubborn pride which will not allow you to say, I'm sorry, when you have caused hurt to a loved one. A stubborn pride that will not allow you to say, I forgive you, when someone else has hurt you. So what is your Achilles heel? Maybe is it gossip? Is it dishonesty? Is it lust? Is it jealousy? What is your Achilles heel? Is it by chance complacency? Complacency whereby you do not take seriously this great struggle in our world between God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. In fact, do you find yourself becoming immune? Kind of, oh, ho, hum. Immune to the attacks on the Christian faith taking place in our world, in our nation, in our community at this very moment. And you become so immune to that after a while that you no longer speak out and confess your faith in Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord. You're complacent. What is your Achilles heel? Is it doubt? Doubt. Especially when the devil comes to you in the midst of some troubles you're having. And he suggests that God evidently doesn't know and he evidently doesn't care. And you've tried to live a Christian life and you wonder why all these troubles are happening to you. The devil likes to create that doubt. So we could go on and name other things, but that's enough. Such is the enemy. Such is the enemy. Let us now, in the second place, consider how the devil can be resisted. Now, before we consider the armor, the putting on all that armor that St. Paul speaks about in our lesson, let me just say that one of the best ways to resist the devil is to be careful of the company you keep. Now, I didn't pay enough attention to that when I was a kid. Got me in a lot of trouble. Sometimes I probably was the bad company. Be careful of the company you keep. And that I don't just mean the company of other people either. Persons. It could be places where you go. It could be things you read. It could be what you're watching on the computer. Certain movies you attend, etc. In other words, avoid the mistake of giving the devil an advantage by putting yourself in the way of temptation. And then another mistake is to think that we can handle the devil on our own. I'll take care of it, Lord. I'll take care of this. That we can handle the devil on our own. Reminds me of the story of this guy. He fell from a 20-story building. And as he fell and as he passed each floor on the way down, he was heard to say, I'm okay so far. I'm okay so far, so far. Okay. So, we may think we're okay in our ongoing struggle with the devil, but we can't win the battle alone. We need the armor of God. And that brings us to our lesson. Special weapons are called for, and we have them here in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul mentions several of them. And he refers to them as the whole armor of God. And listed in order, they are as follows. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. I will comment on just a few of them, starting with the belt of truth. Truth. You know, one characteristic of the world we live in today is the acceptance of all religious claims as equally valid. Well, that's her truth. That's his truth. That's their truth. That's my truth. In other words, truth is relative. And there's no such thing as absolute truth. But Jesus said, John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. As mentioned earlier, there are times when the devil wants you to doubt God's love because of certain troubles that are going on in your life at that time. Well, you can counter the devil at such times with the truth. The truth. You can point to the cross as proof that God does indeed love me, regardless of what's going on in my life. For on the cross, God so loved the world that He gave His Son to die for my sins and your sins. You ever watch any Dracula movies? In the myth of Count Dracula, it said that the vampire Dracula could be warded off by just showing a cross. He better not attack me right now, see? I'll just show him this cross. Well, Jesus is no myth. And in His name, we can indeed say to Satan, behold the cross on which my Savior defeated you. Then another weapon in the armor of God is the sword of the Spirit. We all know what a sword is, but Paul identifies this sword with the Word of God. And recall how Jesus Himself defeated the devil when He was tempted in the wilderness. After each temptation, Jesus said, it is written. It is written. And then He quoted the Word of God. Martin Luther expressed this in one of his hymns, a hymn that's so famous, you'll find it in the hymn book of just about every denomination, including the Roman Catholic Church, the hymn, A Mighty Fortress. And here's how one verse goes. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none, he's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him. And so when Satan tempts you, as he did Jesus, take the sword of the Spirit. Quote the Word of God, especially the many promises of God. And you say, well, I would do that, Pastor, but I don't know a lot of things from the Bible. I don't really know a lot of those things that Jesus said and promises He gave. Well, okay. But you can learn them. Let's spend more time with our Bibles daily. Let's get to know what Jesus said and did. And we will grow not only in the things we know, knowledge, but the Bible also says faith comes by hearing the Word of God. I will note one more weapon in our spiritual warfare with the devil, and that weapon is prayer. There's an old saying that the devil trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. So, ask God each day to empower you through the Holy Spirit to overcome the temptation to sin. Now, some of you may be thinking, all this is well and good, Pastor, but like so many things that you talk about at church, it's easier said than done, right? Absolutely. And what about those many, many times that I blew it? What about those many, many times that I have succumbed, that I have given in to the devil? Well, that's true of all of us. We do succumb. We do give in. And at such times, our conscience, you know, bothers us. At such times, we must lift up the cross as never before. At such times, we must take comfort that our sins have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again. Satan wants us to doubt our forgiveness, but God's Word is clear. 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, I'm a Christian, and through Christ's death and resurrection, I'm protected. I'm protected by the breastplate of His righteousness. I'm protected, my feet being shod with the gospel of His peace, and I now wear the helmet of salvation.